Welcome. My name is Trent. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm looking forward to our time this morning. As we get started, I want to invite you on a journey with me. Now, this is not going to be a real journey. It's just going to be an imaginary one. But I want you to imagine, if you would, that we're going to take a tour together, a tour of some local points of interest, some historical landmarks, and some beautiful settings in nature. We all step onto this clean, comfortable bus. It's a big bus for all of us. And we start the journey. And as we drive, the tour guide points out various points of interest. And then our experienced driver, he is nimbly working his way through traffic and around difficult corners. And somewhere along this journey, our bus comes to a stop. And we look forward and we see the bus driver and the tour guide are having some discussion with each other. And eventually the tour guide stands up and he says, ladies and gentlemen, our next point of interest is across this bridge. However, the bridge is not in the condition we thought it would be. And so then he invites you to look forward to see the bridge ahead of you. And this is what you see. Can we put that up there? So, what are your first thoughts? This seems like a good idea. Or maybe, I think we should look for an alternative. But while you're thinking about it, the driver stands up and he says, you know what, folks? I've been driving tour buses for 40 years, and I've never had an accident of any kind, and I'm not going to start today. I've got some duct tape in my toolbox, and I'll just use that to make a couple of repairs here on that bridge, and I think we should be good. Then the tour guide, he stands up and he says, you know what, I've been giving tours for 30 years now, and I've never had anybody injured and never lost anyone. I think that if we get a good running start, build up speed, that, and with the driver's repairs to the bridges, we'll make it. Are you feeling more confident now? You have two skilled, knowledgeable people with years of experience, and they believe you could make it across. And then one of you, the smart one in our group, walks forward and says over the PA system, well, you know, I know of a bridge just a mile down the road from here that we can get across. I used it this morning to get here, and I just happened to take a picture of it. Then they plug their phone into the PA system, right? The picture shows up, and this is what you see. So, which bridge gives you confidence? Let's do the eye doctor thing here, okay? Bridge one, bridge two. Bridge one, bridge two. I'm guessing that everyone in here is going to choose that second slide, that second bridge. And I believe that for every person here, it has everything to do with the bridge itself. Not the skills or the talents or the knowledge or the experience of the driver and the tour guide. It is clear to each of us that the second bridge is capable of doing what it was designed to do. This morning, we're going to take a look at Psalm 27, written by King David. In this psalm, David expresses his unshakable confidence. And this is not self-confidence in what he has done or what he can do. It is confidence in God. As David writes this psalm, he is not writing about himself. He's not writing about his talents, his skills that can create his own self-confidence. He is writing about God, thinking about what God has done, can do, and will do for him. And just like Bridge 2, God can do what he says he will do. David's confidence is connected to his trust in God. As we saw with these two bridges, our confidence didn't come from the self-confidence of the driver or the tour guide. It came from which bridge we trusted. Confidence for the believer is not the result of our effort or our wishful thinking. It is the natural companion to our trust in God. This morning, we'll look at Psalm 27 in three sections. As we walk through the psalm, we'll see David make clear his current confidence in God. And then David will share with us how he and how we can cultivate confidence in God. Then David will close this psalm, sharing how he and we can have continued confidence in God. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can be in your presence, that we can be here with each other, that we can offer you the best we have this morning. And we just invite you now to continue to speak into us. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your word, and reveal to us, God, how you want us to be changed by you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we get started here, I just want to invite you to go ahead and open up your Bibles of any kind that you would have with you. And we really do want to encourage you each week to bring a Bible with you. In these first three verses, we're going to look at how David has come to the current confidence he has in God. And so starting in verse 1, it reads this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. And though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident." Confident here means to trust or to feel secure. It has to do with attaching oneself to and having expectations of. And in this situation, it is referring to depending on God alone. Now, the exact date of David writing this psalm is uncertain. However, it is likely that prior to writing this, David has battled Goliath. You may remember that 9-foot-plus giant, right? He has served King Saul both as a musician and as a military leader. He has fought and won many military battles, both when Saul was king and since David has become the king. Out of jealousy, King Saul chased him around for years seeking to kill him. And during this time, more than once, David could have taken Saul's life, but he chose not to. Then there is Absalom, one of David's sons, who sought to overthrow David's government, David's kingdom, and then take both David's throne and his life. David has been mistreated, hunted by those he loved. He spent years in the wilderness hiding and finding places to sleep and to gather food from. And he has been mistreated for obeying God. It will be helpful for us to keep this in mind as we walk through this psalm this morning so that we can more fully appreciate what David says to us. So as we read these first three verses, when David uses the words light, salvation, and stronghold, these are not just dramatic words he's using to capture our attention. These words reflect his real-life experiences with God. Experiences that have established confidence for David in God. Look at these statements of confidence from David. Twice he says, "The Lord is." This is a statement of truth. It is a fact for David. First, he says, "The Lord God is my light and my salvation." Used here, light and salvation essentially mean the same thing. They pertain to the work of the Lord, his giving relief and giving victory. They relate to how God's truths, his light, dispel the darkness and deliver from harm. And then he says, The Lord God is my stronghold. This means a fortified place, a sure defense. And the purpose of a stronghold is to protect those who seek refuge. Light, salvation, and stronghold reveal God's protective role in David's life. Protection that has created confidence. And stating the truths about God solidifies what we believe and how we live. David is making these statements even while evildoers, adversaries, foes, and armies attack him, encamp around him, and seek to have war with him. His past and his present experiences with God enable him to say, "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" He recognizes that through the Lord's presence in his life, he can live with no fear. In the midst of his current difficulties and with those around him, David proclaims, "I am confident in the Lord." This confident confession in the Lord's saving love is similar to Paul's statement in Romans 8, where he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He continues with, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And he closes his little statement with this, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord." David does not point us back to his greatness. Does not point us back to his talents or to his hard work. He points us to what he believes. That the Lord has been, is, and will be his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. He will be the one who causes his adversaries and his foes to stumble and fall. David is not spending his time thinking about those who make his life difficult. He is focused on the source of his confidence, the Lord. What we do, or what we believe, directs what we do, and what we meditate on directs what we believe. In other words, we do what we believe. We do what we believe. Do we believe, like David, that the Lord is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold? If so, we too can have that same confidence. In these next 9 verses, we're going to look at how David is intentional about developing and cultivating his confidence. He does this in ways that you and I can also do. Starting in verse 4, we read, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." So let me step out of this sermon for just a brief moment, okay? This is a little extra bonus for you this morning. And we don't really have time to kind of dig into it, but I think you could enjoy this little side journey during the upcoming week. The phrase, "one thing," is found 5 times in Scripture. And here they are. This is the bonus slide for you this morning. Okay? There's the 5-1 things. And I want to encourage you this week to take time and to look at each one of these. You'll be able to find these in the sermon notes on our app or on our webpage. As you look at them, I think what we're going to discover is that they all point us back to Jesus. Okay, that's your bonus. Now we're back to the sermon. So David says, "One thing I ask, one thing I will seek." He's both requesting of God and pursuing after God. And he is revealing his passion here. He uses the words to dwell, gaze, and inquire, each of which speaks of David's desire to be in the reassuring presence of God, who has not abandoned him even in the midst of his suffering. When he uses the phrase house of the Lord here, it's referring to God's dwelling place, where God's presence can be found. David uses the words temple, shelter, or tent to describe this as well. In the house of the Lord, in God's presence, David has experienced protection and encouragement. For David, the house of the Lord was both the visible expression of the Lord as well as the physical location of the Lord's presence. David had to go physically to the house of the Lord, the temple, to dwell in God's presence. And to dwell here means to abide in, to remain in. David wanted to remain in the Lord's presence continuously. Unfortunately for David, he could not live there all the time. And when he physically left the temple, he was leaving God's presence. But for us, fortunately, Jesus changed all of that. We read in the first chapter of John that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to be with us. Then in John 15, Jesus says to those around him, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." If you're longing for peace, comfort, and safety today, that longing is fulfilled for us in Christ, who calls us to abide in him, who promises to abide in us. Where we dwell, who we abide in, establishes our confidence for daily life. So continuing in verse 6 here. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Being in God's presence and receiving his protection leads David to worship with sacrifices, with shouts of joy, and with praise music. And each of these are instrumental in building his confidence. David continues in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in danger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." The language David is using here and has used throughout this psalm indicates that his trials and his difficulties and his pains are not things of the past. Those difficulties that David is currently in or that he will face in the future, here he is pleading to God to hear when he calls, to hear when he talks with the Lord, to hear when he prays. In verse 8, David enters into this kind of actual prayer dialogue with God when he says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Prayer is foundational to our spiritual growth and maturity. Unfortunately, most of us struggle at one time or another in our faith walk with what to pray and how to pray. So I just want to bring up one quick, simple reminder and outline that many of you know, and it's an acronym. And it's the acronym ACTS. The A, standing for adoration or praise or worship. Confession of where we've missed what God's design and desire for us is. Thanksgiving for the things that he is doing for us and has done for us. And supplication or request, those areas of life where we need God to be active. This is something that we do corporately when we come together throughout the week and on Sunday mornings. But it is also something that each of you here can do as an individual or within your families. Prayer produces confidence and reminds us of the source of our confidence. Giving thanks and adoration to God reinforces our confidence in God. Giving thanks and adoration to God reinforces our confidence in God. And we continue, and we're looking at David now in verse 10 when he mentions his father and his mother forsaking him. And it is unclear here if he is referring to them dying and they are no longer with him, or if they've abandoned their relationship with David. Either way, David states his confidence that God will always take him in. And then in verse 11, we read, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence." David is being proactive with the Lord, pleading that God would teach him and protect him. We have seen in these last 9 verses David being intentional. He seeks after the Lord, making him the priority of his life. He dwells and abides in the Lord. He lives in the protection the Lord provides. David gives thanks and sacrifices to the Lord. He adores, sings praises, and worships the Lord. And he spends time talking with the Lord in prayer. He seeks to learn the ways of the Lord. And David knows that in the end, it will be his enemies who stumble and fall. This is how David cultivates his confidence in God. And you and I can do the same things. And in these last 2 verses, we see how David is planning to have continued confidence in God. In verse 13, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." These last 2 verses bring us back to where we started. David's confidence. The statements, "I believe and I shall," reveal his confidence. And as I shared earlier, confidence is the natural companion to our trust in God. And what we believe directs what we do, and we do what we believe. Then David moves from what he believes to where he is currently. This land of the living he refers to is both this world that we live in and those who have come to be alive in Christ. And while surrounded by bloodthirsty foes who sought to take his life, David was confident that he would remain among the living. And then here, David directs us twice to wait. Waiting is not resignation or despair. It is a step of trust and commitment that takes strength, courage, patience, and endurance. It is an act of confidence to wait. The opposite of waiting is acting now. Whenever we rush frantically about trying to do things on our own, we in effect become functional atheists, denying by our actions that God is actually active in our lives. We need to remember that waiting never takes too long. God's timing for deliverance is always perfect. David also, in this section of Scripture, implores us to be strong and to take heart. These two verbs are used 15 times throughout the Old Testament together. And they are used to challenge and encourage soldiers before engaging in battle. These two verbs were used by Joshua to encourage the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan River to take in the promised land. And they carry with them the ideas of establishing, fastening, or binding ourselves to someone, to be firm and valiant. These are words of preparation for action. David is encouraging us to attach ourselves to the Lord, to be patient in the midst of our trials and difficulties, and confident that waiting in the Lord never takes too long. His timing is always perfect. Philippians 4:13, I think, provides for us the correct view of self-confidence and confidence in God. This is what it reads. I can do all things. Now, if it stopped there, I don't think any of us in this room would believe that was true for anyone in this room. Right? I know some people in here who can't cook. Some people who couldn't put an engine back together. Right? Some people who are not musically inclined. But it's only when we complete that that verse becomes accurate and true. I can do all things through him, Jesus, who strengthens me. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but in the Lord. This morning, if you're longing for your head to be lifted up in the midst of your challenges and your struggles, if you're longing for light, salvation, and a stronghold, Jesus is here today for you. He is here for each of us this morning. Right where you are sitting, you can say, God, you have said, seek your face. And today, God, I am seeking your face. I want to dwell with, abide in you. And God will not hide from you. For those who dwell in God's presence and seek his face, regardless of what is going on in the world around us, what is going on in our own personal lives, like David, we can have unshakable confidence. Confidence for all of us who believe in God is not wishful thinking, but complete conviction and expectation of a guaranteed outcome that shapes our lives and how we live. I want to encourage each of you this week to think about three statements that we're going to put up on there. God has, God is, and God will. This is your homework for the week, okay? Set aside time this week to read these through and fill in those blanks for you personally. God has. Remember what God has done and who God is. God is. Restore your relationship daily with God as you acknowledge him and praise him and give thanks for the things that he has done and is doing. And God will. Relinquish your desire for control and dependence on yourself, and then wait confidently for God to act on your behalf. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may we be like David. May we take the time to remember what you have done for us so that we can see the source of our confidence. Lord, would we take time to pursue you each day, to dwell with you, to abide in you, to offer you thanksgiving and praise, so that we might continue to build up our understanding of your truth and our confidence in you. And God, may we enter into the coming days with you in front of us, that our hearts are centered on you, and that we can live without fear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.